We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. Today, we want to say thank you to Jith Concrete for their faithful support of the radio program here. 536-5804. If you have any block work or concrete work that you need to have done, they really are very good at what they do. So give them a call if they can be a blessing to you. Just think of how much your back will thank you for calling them and have them come out and do it right the first time and not messing up. I don't know about you, but I have had to work and pour concrete, and it was extremely hard work. And so they can be a blessing to you. 536-5804. Tell them you heard about them here on the Refresh radio broadcast. Also, just one more reminder about the offering fundraiser that's going on here at the radio station, 632-1000, 632-1000. If you feel God would have you to partner with the radio station to keep the Word of God broadcasting throughout this region and around the globe, actually via the internet. Also, we have our vintage service today at 11 a.m. Like you to come and be a part of that. And our children's ministry will be taking place tonight at 6 o'clock. We serve food and then we have our class and that will take place tonight. So if you have boys or girls, we start off with a time of praise and worship, and then we separate to our age-appropriate classes, and so that would be great. It's our children in this county are not suffering from an overexposure to the gospel. They are suffering from an underexposure to the gospel. We want to do as much as we can to change that. So back to Isaiah chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to touch on a little bit of this, and we're going to move into chapter 2 today as well, I believe. We've been talking about, or on yesterday's broadcast anyway, about the deterioration of society and that it results in God having to do a refining work inside of us. And he says in verse number 25, "I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at first and your counselors at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness." And so here God says, I'm getting ready to send you through the refining process all over again. I'm going to take away the dross. Now, one of the things that I read was about the refining of precious metals, where they would heat the elements up and then they would skim the dross off the top, and a master refiner would continue that process until he could see his reflection inside the molten metal. Until he could see his reflection inside there. And I want to ask you, if you were to look at yourself in a spiritual mirrored, would you see a reflection of the heart of God, or would it be a distorted image that you would see in its place? I say that most of us, it would be distorted. We'd either fall flat in this area or that area. And so when a master refiner never would just say, well, you know what, that's as good as it's going to get. Instead, he would continue to work on it until he achieved his desired result, and that was purity in this metal to create its maximum value, its maximum purpose, achieve its maximum efficiency, for it to be an honor of max, or a vessel of maximum honor. And that was all known by whether or not it reflected the refiner. you and I today, if we do not like the reflection of God that would be manifest in our life, and I will tell you, you know, it there's a lot of self-deception that goes on in society. People who are living in blatant violation of God's word, and yet they say, "Well, I'm an accurate reflection of God here," and I'm, you know, a lot of times I'd want to say, "Which one?" I was having a discussion with a person one time, and theologically they had embraced a lot of stuff that wasn't in the word of God. It was just not there. And they said, "Well, we all serve the same God," and I just kind of, "Well, I don't know about that." And all of a sudden, they told me they didn't care if I went to heaven. They had another destination that they had in mind, and all because I was questioning the reflection, and I didn't say that they were going. I wasn't condemning them. I was just doubting their statement that we were serving the same God. There's a popular teaching that goes around. It doesn't matter, you know, who you worship or what you worship, just as long as you are sincere in what you believe. My wife likes to watch a program called Chopped, where these people get put in these high pressure cooking situations with surprise ingredients. All of them are given the same ingredients. All of them are very sincere. All of them are skilled in what they do, but inevitably one of them forgets an ingredient or adds another ingredient, or sometimes they just get the people's palates are what I would call spoiled. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, the one person say, "Well, you could have added a little more crunch to this." Well, and then the next person, "Well, you got too much crunch here." And I just call them a bunch of whiny babies. I just look at my wife and say, "I've got a very simple mouth. Okay, don't try that fancy stuff on me. I'm from the heart of the Bible Belt there, and you know, we just like food. It doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be Michelin rated or five star rated or diamond rated or any of that." But here's what it is. Those judges look at it and they say, "You know what? One of you is going home. In fact, all of you are going home at some point in time. One of you is going to be the winner. But the rest of you, we're going to judge you and we're going to send you home, even though you're sincere, even though you use the same ingredients." And I want you to know it matters who you worship. You see, there was a spiritual civil war that went on in Judah and Israel. It was the worship of the Lord God Jehovah, Yahweh, versus the worship of Baal. And I will tell you, Baal worship was very popular. It actually existed in the Promised Land while the children of Israel were in Egypt as slaves. They had the Asherahs, which was what my Bible college professor described as a porno pole. They had immorality that was going on. There were temple prostitutes, and you know, Elijah came on the scene, and he prophesied famine, and there was famine for 3.5 years, and he showed up and he said, "Okay, gather together all the prophets of Baal and Asherah." There were 850 of them that gathered on the mountain. There was one of Elijah. And he said, "Today we are going to see which one is God." And he demonstrated on that day, that there is a distinction between worshiping an idol and worshiping him. Today, I want you to know you have freedom in America to worship whomever or whatever you choose to worship or not to worship. But understand that God is looking for you to worship him and him alone. Worship him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's what he's looking for. And so here it says, "I will restore your judges at the first." Now, I believe that probably the most popularly quoted verse in America right now is, "Judge not lest you be judged." And so today I want you to know that I'm not here to make a judgment out of my intellect, my emotions, or my perceptions. Today, because, you know, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a take. Everybody's got a perception. And so if we're going to make that determination, then we have to say, well, my judgment, my perception is no better. It ranks as 1/7 billionth of the correct perception as what yours does. But if we are coming at it and saying, what does the Word of God say? Now, you will find that in the Bible, it God began to work to bring through the Jewish people, through the line of David, the Messiah, for all of the world to be saved. There was a progression in the way that he worked, and it's a progression towards peace. It's a progression towards evangelism to the entire world. We don't go around killing to make converts. There are maybe episodes of that in our past, but that doesn't mean that God endorsed them. Instead, he says, here's the information. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You're free to choose life or choose death. I advise you choosing life, but if you choose death, that's not my will for you, but I'm giving you the freedom to make that choice. He said, I will restore your judges as at the first. In other words, if we want to stop the deterioration, if we want to restore the value and the faithfulness, then we have to return back to our first love. We have to return back to God's process, not our process. And God's process says, I'm going to give you people who will judge in righteousness. They will not judge in favoritism. They will judge according to my word. They will judge in love. They will judge in righteousness and holiness. That's what society needs to stop deterioration and restore it to growth. He said, I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. I believe that what the Bible says in that there in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. I believe that's true. But you've got to make sure that you're getting counsel from people who are providing you spiritual counsel, heavenly counsel, divine counsel, not counsel from the wisdom of this world. Okay? I'm not saying everything, you know, if I go to the store and you know, somebody's there and I say, you know, which color looks best, I don't need somebody to pray about it and say, well, you know, I think this color looks best on you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you want counsel on how to build a godly home, you need to have godly counselors, because the world is filled with a bunch of misguided things about what makes for a happy home. There's enough problems in the church with church people not seeking the right form of counselors. We need counselors. In fact, a little bit later here in Isaiah, we're going to find that let me turn over there. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. There are some people who do not want any input. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do, how to do it. They are self-contained, and basically what they have done is they have imprisoned and insulated themselves against the truth of God coming in and making a positive difference in their life. And you and I, we need to make sure that we need counselors. It said, and your counselors as at the beginning. So we're not ever going to get to that place where we don't. In fact, I believe in something that that God has laid up on my heart. It was a term that he gave me. I'd never heard it before. If there's somebody else out there that's got it, congratulations. But this came into my prayer. In life stage discipleship. Life stage discipleship. Because there are some people who are getting close to retirement. They need to be making preparations now for retirement. There are people in school, and school is supposed to be educating kids for the next grade, the next level, the next college experience. What's life going to be like for them outside of school? What's their financial life? And so you and I, we need counselors at various stages of life. Listen, at one point in time, Tiger Woods was the best golfer on the planet. But did you know that he had a swing coach? Did you know that he had a putting coach and a chipping coach? He had people who was giving him insight. He had a course coach. His caddy would be telling him, okay, this is how far it is. This is where you don't want to hit it right at the flag here. You want to hit it down there, and you want the slope of the hill to bring it down towards the cup. He had all of those people. Listen, if professional athletes need coaches, how much more do we need coaches? How much more do we need counselors who will give us insight to things that we cannot perceive in ourselves? I hate those tests where it says, see how long it takes you to find what's wrong with this picture. And you keep going over it and over it. And what happens is our mind gets ahead of itself, and it automatically causes us to read it the right way, even though there's a blemish there. There's one thing that's out there that they invert letters, substitute numbers, but the first letter and the last letter are the same, and you know within just a second your mind picks up on what that message is. We need counselors who are going to tell us the reality of the situation and the steps that are necessary to bring about the change that we need. Listen, you can't continue to do things the way that you have and expect to get different results. If you put the same ingredients in and take the same actions, you will get the same result. If we want to walk in righteousness and holiness, if we want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we want to walk as messengers of God's word, we've got to have the counsel of God's word. And he says, when your judges are restored and your counselors are in place, he said, then afterward you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness. Jesus came to restore us back to those principles that God had wanted for us to live by all along. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for the redemption that is available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that today, even though we were once unfaithful, he has created us as a new creation, as a faithful creation, as a forgiven creation, so that we can be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. I'm thankful that he can give us a faithful heart. I'm thankful that he can take out our sin and he can restore us to righteousness. So let's go over to Isaiah chapter 2, and let's begin to look at some things in that chapter. Like I said, not every chapter are we going to be dealing a whole lot with. Some chapters we're going to skip entirely. But in verse number 1, it says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So we're not going to get anywhere near through all of that. But there are some things in here that I want to talk about. It says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days. What God is saying here is this is the thing that I am trying to create. This is the purpose that I am trying to establish. And it says, I'm looking for people who will see the value in the house of the Lord. It says, now it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Now, as long as a society does not see the value and the purpose of coming together as the body of Christ and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as long as that society doesn't see that, then there's going to be less than optimal value and optimal performance in their community. God wants us to see that He is the one who is high and lifted up. He is the one that is worthy to be praised. He is looking for people who see the value of making the journey to worship the Lord. I mean, think about it. How many people do you know that if they had to climb a mountain, there's not any way that they would be able to do it? I was out in Phoenix a few years ago. One of the men of the church sent me out there, and behind this church that was having this conference, they literally have a prayer mountain. They own a mountain. And you can go up there and you can just sit and look out and pray. And while I was out there, there was something that had happened. And I said, you know what? Up until now, I had no desire to climb that mountain, but I think I'm going to go climb the mountain. And I got up there, and I mean, you have to be very careful. You don't need rock climbing equipment or anything like that. You just need to walk and kind of, you know, climb a little bit. But I was there, and I said, I need to pray more than I need to be in that conference right now. And so I climbed up there, and it's like, you know what? This view was worth the climb. And the communication was worth the climb. Today, folks, if the devil has deceived you or blinded you or given you an excuse and said, you know what, you really don't need to fellowship with other believers, I want to encourage you that he's not known for telling the truth. He's not known for telling people what is in their best interest. He has a way of stealing and killing and destroying. And so if you've been hurt in church, let me say, welcome to the club. I'll never forget, you know, how painful some of my early learning experiences in ministry were. But guess what? No matter how bad it hurt, Jesus' ability to heal was greater than that. When you're told that you're worthless and you will never amount to anything or make it in the ministry, and God comes along and provides the healing balm of Gilead, and people have their lives touched, all of a sudden you say, you know what? Just because that person spoke that over my life doesn't mean it's got to be true. So I challenge you today to make the house of God your priority. Do you know what one of the leading trends in Christianity in America is right now? It is this, that Christians, committed Christians in the local church, are attending church services fewer and fewer times each and every month. Now, I think that trend needs to be reversed. I think that we need to remember what the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even more so as the day of the Lord approaches. If we truly believe that we are in the last days, we've got to continue to make the house of God a top priority in our lives, because I want to be the best me that I can be. I don't have to be the speaker to want to go to the house of God. I'm not there to hear my voice. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a Wednesday where my children's minister, she spoke last Wednesday. I'm speaking today, but she spoke last Wednesday. Well, there were some that thought she was speaking the previous week. And so when I showed up at the vintage service on Wednesday, they were saying, oh, pastor's speaking. We thought the children's minister was speaking today. And it was like, you know, it's a good thing I'm very secure in who I am, because right now it would be pretty easy to get insecure about my preaching ability here. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be coming together. I don't have to be speaking. I like to actually attend church every once in a while where I just get to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen? And he says, many people, and he said, all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, or to the house of the God of Jacob. And it says here, all nations shall flow to it. The word for nations, it simply means a group of people. That all groups of people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, from every lifestyle. Listen, one of the great things I love about the New Testament is when Paul is describing the life of sinners, he said, and such were some of you. That means that God had brought people into the fellowship of believers out of those life-controlling death styles, as I call them, death styles of what was popular in that society. He said, there were some of you that were trapped in this stuff, but now God has set you free. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ, it works in America. It works in Central America. It works in South America. It works in Europe. It works in Asia. It works all around the globe. And he says, I want people from every nation. That's what our missions program is about, is making sure that every person has the opportunity to come and worship the Lord. And he says, many people shall come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. So let me conclude by saying this. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's not stay where we are. Let's not stay distanced. Listen, if you look in the book of Psalms, you will see a section of the Psalms that are called the Songs of Ascent. They would sing them as they were traveling up the mountain to go to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And so they would be singing and worshiping. And so today I say, come on, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let's go to the house of God. Let's go to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember to call the radio station if God lays it upon your heart, the offering 632-1000. That's 632-100. Hopefully you'll be able to join us today at 11 at our vintage service. If not, we will see you tomorrow here at Refresh. But let me say one more time, come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
And I want to thank Pastor Bob Arthurs for that great word here today. And I miss having him around here in the studio this week. And always enjoy having him here and hear the message that he has as he comes in here in the morning and records these programs to share with you. And I'm grateful for him, and I'm grateful for his friendship. Miss you, Bob. We'll see you back here soon. I got a minute and a half to let you know what's going on here. This is day three. We're hump day here of our spring fundraiser. Want to thank June from Coco, and she has pledged $50. She's renewed her pledge, longtime supporter of the station. Thank you, June. When we add her $50, we're at $23,150. We're only $6,850 away from being all wrapped up again for another 6 months. We're going to go, as usual, to our next program here coming up 1 minute. That is Love Worth Finding, the radio ministry of the late, great Adrian Rogers. And I just want to remind everyone, the phone lines are open here. We're attempting to wrap this up here as soon as we can, perhaps today or tomorrow. And that will be as soon as we can raise up $6,850. So if you'd like to help us, if you've given to the station in the past, you received a letter in the mail, but you haven't sent that back, would you give me a call here on this Wednesday morning at 321-632-1000? If you've never given in the past, all you need to do is to call that number. If you're blessed by the music and programming, which you hear here at WMIE, would you give me a call here and help us raise the money that we need? 321-632-1000. Now, here is Love Worth Finding.